Lord, we just thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your mercy. Lord, we thank you for your people. Lord, we just thank you for all your goodness and your mercy, Lord God. We thank you for your grace toward us, Lord God. Father, we don't deserve it. Lord, we acknowledge that we do not deserve it, Lord. But Lord, we just thank you, Lord, for being with us. We pray for their Holy Spirit to come. Come, Holy Spirit. Don't just hover above us, Holy Spirit, but fall on us. Infiltrate us, Holy Spirit. Our prayer always is that we would decrease and you would increase, Lord God. Increase in us, Lord God. Show us your will. Show us your way, Lord God. Cloak us in your humility, Lord God. Even as you let your glory dwell within us, Lord, we pray that you would cloak us also with your humility, Lord God. As we radiate your glory throughout this earth, Lord God, we thank you, we praise you, and we give you all the honor and glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. So we're going to continue with our lesson, The Lord of Glory, and today we're going to be on praying this name. And as always, we're going to come and just kind of really talk about some really deep issues when it comes to praying this name as the Lord of Glory. In fact, this whole lesson has been just different than what maybe many of us expected. When you talk about the Lord of Glory, we think we're going to be talking about all this shiny, bright stuff, but it always comes back to our Lord and his humility, how he hid his glory. He hid his glory so that he could save us. And we talked about that last week when we talked about living this name, that we have to do the same thing with all your gifts and all your talents and all your beauty and all your wonder that God has given you and graced you with. Sometimes he called you to hide it so that you could save others. He called you to hide your glory just like he hid his glory. He calls us basically to humility. And we've got to understand that one thing the Lord was ministering to me that is so powerful. Humility is powerful. That's the secret of humility, is that it is a powerful thing. You know, we think it's like something that people do that, you know, it's weak, but that's a lie. I'm telling you, what, you know what's weak? Pride is weak. Anybody can be prideful. It's weak. It's, you know, prideful people come a dime a dozen. But I'm telling you, show me the humble person. Show me the person that can humble himself before God and before men. And that's the person I want to hang out with because that's powerful. So humility, I just want you to really grasp hold of this as we're talking about the Lord of Glory. Is that concept, it's that tool, if you will, of humility and how powerful it is. If you can operate in it, you would be one of the most powerful people on the planet. If you can have the glory of the Lord within you, but operate in a spirit of his spirit of humility. I'm not talking about this false humility stuff. You know, I'm talking about a true spirit of humility from the Holy Spirit. It is the most powerful spirit that you can operate in. So we're going to turn this around. So today we're going to be talking about praying this name. And here's our scripture again. We've dealt with this scripture before. Psalm 42:7-8. And it says, deep calls to deep at the thundering sound of your waterfalls. All your breakers and your waves roll over me. Yet the Lord will command his loving kindness in the daytime. And in the night, his song will be with me, a prayer to the God of my life. I'm telling you, if you're gonna pray this name, the Lord of Glory, get ready. Get ready to get deep with him. Get ready to be intimate with him. Okay? You know, somebody was pointing out to me that scripture that says, the Lord said, I will not share my glory with another. You know, and I was just really meditating on that and just what that really meant. No, he's not going to share his glory with another. If you're outside of him, you're another. But if you're within him, you are him. Remember what Jesus prayed? Lord, I pray that I would be in them and they would be in me. We are one. We are one with the Lord Jesus Christ. So when he's talking about I'll share my glory with another, he's talking about anybody that's outside of him, he's not sharing it with you. He only shares his glory with those that are within him. Oh, man, that thing just came alive to me. So when we talk about deep calls to deep, we talked about the deep places of ourselves calls to the deep places of God, and that his breakers and his waves roll over us no matter what's happening. I mean, his waves are rolling over us, and the Lord will command his loving kindness in the daytime And in the night, his song will be with me, a prayer to the God of my life. The God of my life. And I want you to really hear that phrase clearly. The God of my life. Not the God of my Sunday morning. Not the God of my, you know, when I'm doing my thing that I'm doing for God, my service, but the God of my life. That means he's everywhere. He's in everything. He's about everything. And everything, he is Lord. He's the Lord of glory. So the first point on your lesson says, because our Lord is clothed with his splendor, that is his glory. To pray in Jesus' name, the Lord of glory, is to saturate ourselves with his excellence and majesty in prayer. Hallelujah. This saturation, people, changes us. And it changes the things around us as we bring our situations into the light of his glory. Do you understand? That's why you need to be praying in the morning before you go out, because you have got to saturate yourself in his glory. You know, you got to saturate your situations. I don't care what's going on. Saturate the situation so that you can enter into his glory. The next point says, through all of the troubles of this life, we can learn to saturate ourselves in his majesty and glory. This is accomplished in the prayer closet. This is accomplished in the prayer closet. This is accomplished in the prayer closet. This is accomplished through praise and worship in the face of trials. I wish we could get that. I wish we could learn what it is to praise God in the face of trials, to praise God in the pain. Have you ever been there? And if you haven't been there, I'm telling you, I see why the apostle said, I glory in tribulation, because he had learned the beauty and the depth of praising him in the pain. There is something that happens to you when you praise him in the pain. There's an intimacy that's created between you and Christ when you praise him in the pain. There's a level of trust that is reached when you praise him in the loss and in the pain and all of the things that hurt us. And you lift up your voice and you deliberately, and as an act of your will, you praise him. Your feelings don't matter. Don't let your feelings dictate you. Let the Holy Spirit dictate to you. As I said, I've said this before and I heard this years ago, whatever inspires you will control you. And if your emotions inspire you, your emotions will control you. But if the Holy Spirit inspires you, the Holy Spirit will control you. So your feelings, oh, they come and go. They're up and down. So you've got to reach above or deeper, actually, than your feelings. And praise him in the pain. The Lord, he is the Lord of glory. You pray to the Lord of glory and the Lord of victory. You pray through, you groan through, you hold on to the place of his glory. And this is a beautiful experience for the believer. It creates a greater intimacy between you and the Lord of glory. Just like the lover seeks out her beloved when her heart is hurting, and when she finds him, she falls into his arms and everything is all right. That's the way you have got to see Jesus. You know, that's the way you've got to see Jesus. Male, female, it doesn't matter. That's how you got to see him. When your heart is hurting, who do you want to go to? Who do the children even show us ahead of us. The children show us. Who do the children go to when they're hurting? They go to the one that loves them. That's who they go to when they're hurting, and God calls us to do the same thing. In your handout, yeah, if you have that, there's a handout. If you haven't had it, it's from the Song of Solomon. And some people shy away from the Song of Solomon because they said it's just too intimate. It's too sensual. It's too we just can't do the Song of Solomon. But I'm telling you, there's such beauty in this book because it talks about the intimacy that God wants. There's a reason why. I was wondering, God, why in the world did you have the Song of Solomon in the Bible? Why? There's a reason. Because he wanted to express intimacy between us and him and how that was. And it's, you know, I know this is King Solomon and the Shulamite talking back and forth, someone that he loved, but it expresses the love between God and his people. And it even, it says it, in your handout it says, the beloved, which is God, says this, like a lily among thorns. Wow, that got me right there. A lily among the thorns of life, the hard and painful things. But he is a lily, like a lily among thorns. So is my love among the daughters. Or the sons, the daughters and the sons. And if you can just get a picture of that, of a lily among all the thorns and the hard places of life, that's what his love is for you, among the hard places of life. And then the Shulamite says, like an apple tree among the trees of the woods, so is my beloved among the sons. I sat down in his shade with great delight, and his fruit was sweet to my taste. Hallelujah. And again, you just look at that, how in the middle, because you can see in the middle of everything, an apple tree among the trees of the wood. You know, I sat down in his shade, meaning the sun shining bright on me and bearing down on me. But I sit down in his shade when all the things are coming down on me in life. I can sit in his shade and I find great delight, and his fruit is sweet to my taste. And that's what he will do for you when you press in to the Lord of glory through the pain. You press in to the Lord of glory. You pray through the pain. You praise through the pain. And you find yourself in under the shade of his apple tree. You know, taking in his fruit. Taking in his word. Remembering what he has said. And it brings comfort to your heart. Folks, that's what he wants from us. I know it breaks his heart that even after we have accepted him, we still won't come to him. We bear it all by ourselves, or we go to other people that don't, either they don't love us or they don't know how to love us. And it's not their fault. They're human too. He calls you to come to him, come to his shade tree. He's got fruit for you when the sun is bearing down on you and you can't take it anymore. Press in to the Lord of glory. Press into his glory. Press into his glory is what he's saying, where he has all these things for you. And then the Shulamite says to the daughters of Jerusalem, he brought me into the banqueting house, and his banner over me was love. Sustained me with cakes of raisins. Refreshed me with apples, for I am lovesick. His left hand is under my head and his right hand embraces me. Boy, you just got to really take that into your spirit. Again, male, female, it doesn't matter. You know, because I find that even our men need this. Because we put so much on them. We put so much on them. We, you know, they're supposed to be the head and the protector and all of this and all of that. And they need a place, a refuge where they can go to and be refreshed and strengthened. So hallelujah, we want to press into that. Single moms, you press into this. Wives, press into this. Mothers, fathers, press into this. Press into the Lord of glory. I'm learning, even as a mother, as a mom, as a single mom, I'm learning to press into him even more and more. I'm not even going to be shocked by what my kids do or what they say anymore. I'm just going to press into Jesus. I said, okay, Jesus, you heard what she just said. So, Lord, we just praising you. We thank you. And just pressing in to him and to the Lord of glory. Because he's got something for you. He's got cakes of raisins for you. He's got refreshing for you. And he, hallelujah, he'll take care of what concerns you if you take it to him. Because sometimes we're just all in the way, doing whatever we want, doing what we think we should do, and saying what we need to say, and messing up everything. Sometimes we say too much. He is there to take over and to do it and to deal with it, but you are in the way. When he's just calling you to rest under his tree and under his shade and take in his nourishment and rest. I got this. I love that scripture. One of my favorite scriptures is from Isaiah 54. My maker is my husband. The Lord God Almighty is his name. That theme keeps coming up. And that word, if you break down that word husband, it is house and band, the one that bans the house, the one that protects and bans the house. So you need the husbands need a husband, you know, the one that bans and protects and takes care, because no human being can take care of everything that comes in this earth. No human being can watch your back all the time, 24/7, 365 days a year. No human being can do that. Only God. So folks, if we're talking about this Lord of glory, we're praying his name, I want you to really catch hold to intimacy. Intimacy with the Almighty and what that looks like. You know, sometimes we see God as some mythical, mystic, distant being. He's not. He's close. He's within you. Remember that prayer, John 17? I and them and they and me. I mean, my goodness, Jesus was praying. Remember we talked about that? That last will and testament of Jesus Christ, man, he was, that's what I call it. You know, when he was praying to his Father, asking him to make us a part. Remember, he gave us his glory. Remember he talked about the levels of glory? Of all the levels of glory there is, he gave us the highest level of glory, which is his glory. So let's not take it for granted. Let's not forfeit. Boy, we want our deep calls to deep. Deep places of you call it. There's, you know, you can tell him. You can draw near to him, and don't let the liar tell you you cannot draw near to God. He is a liar. I'm telling you, he will lie to you. Don't let him tell you you can't draw near. For whatever reason he may bring in your head, you can always draw near to him. The next point in your lesson says, as you learn to pray through, you will begin to see his victory in your life, and you will begin to long for him more and more. I'm telling you, we're talking about being lovers now. I mean, are you in love with God? I mean, sometimes we like Jesus. You know, I've accepted him into my heart and I like him. He all right. You know, but are you in love? I'm not talking about love him. And some people just, I love Jesus. Are you in love? Do you think about him? Does your mind go to him, you know, when you have a spare minute and, you know, you're just walking down to the hall, to the restroom? Does your mind dwell to him? Does your mind just automatically go there? And if it doesn't, don't worry about it. Keep working on it. Keep drawing close to him, because at some point, there is a point in your salvation, I know this to be true, where you fall in love with him. You don't just love him. You are in love with him. Some of y'all know what I'm talking about. Your mind just goes to him automatically. You know, and you just start talking to him. Just start talking to him. Lord, what do you think about this? And Lord, do you see when that happened? Lord, what do you think? And Lord, I just thank you and I praise you. Just got praise coming out of your mouth. Lord, did I forget to thank you about that situation? But I just want to take the time and thank you. Oh, Lord, I just thank you. Lord, I just thank you that you didn't let me burn my hand when I touched that hot stove by accident. I mean, just little things where he wants to be a part, letting you know I'm here. I'm watching you. Think about the near misses you've had. Oh, God, I've had some near misses, folks. I mean, a near miss with a truck. Near misses. Did you thank him? Did you thank him for sending that angel to push you back right at the right time? Or move that car just at the right time? Don't you know the angels are involved here? He had dispatched those angels. That's my child. And you need to go down on June 29th, because 2017, because right at 5:07 p.m., my child needs you to be there so you can just move that thing out of the way. Oh, he's involved, guys. If you would just pay attention. We take so much for granted. His mercy. We don't even thank him, but his mercy is there the next day. What is this, what is the lamentation? The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercy never comes to an end. It's new every morning. New every morning. Great is thy faithfulness, O Lord. Hallelujah. We're talking about intimacy here. I know you didn't expect this in praying about the Lord of glory, but that's what it's about. entering into his glory. He only lets the intimate ones come in. I share my glory. I want you to remember that scripture. I don't share my glory with another. So if you're going to be a part of my glory, you need to enter into me so that we are one. And then my glory is in you, falling on you, radiating out of you. Do you understand? Are you guys getting this? I'm telling you, the Lord ministered this. I was blown away. If you're going to pray this name, the Lord of glory, this is what it's about. Intimacy. So you can know what this glory is. I dare say there are many Christians that don't know this, that haven't entered into the glory. The glory of glories. We go from glory to glory, he said, the apostle said. So there's an intimacy that we all have yet to reach. So as you learn to pray through, you will begin to see his victory in your life. You will begin to long for him more and more. You will begin to understand the words of David, as a deer pants, longs for the water brook, so my soul pants longingly for you, oh God. Hallelujah. My soul, my life, my inner self thirsts for the God, for the living God. When will I come and see the face of God? Question mark. Oh my God, Psalm 42 again, 1 and 2. Hallelujah. Can you see this man was in love with God? He was in love with God. And he even asked, when will I come and see your face? I mean, I don't know if y'all ever long for heaven. Have you ever longed for heaven? I don't know if you ever long for heaven. You know, but that's what he's longing. When will I see your face? I love you. I long for you. Like the deer, a thirsty deer pants for the water. I long for you. When will I see your face, oh Lord? When will I see your face? When will I see your face? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Sometimes it's hard because he says there's more work to be done. He'll tell us. Amen. He'll say, our grace is sufficient. Yes. My grace is sufficient for you. And there's more work to be done. There's more people that need to be won and ministered to. So if you can just wait a little longer. Yes. If you can just wait a little longer. I remember I got to tell the story about my grandma. Grandma Rosendary. Love her. And she's gone on to be with Jesus, but I mean, when she was 70 years old, she was just like, I just want to go on and be home. I'm just going to, you all are all fine. You guys are good. I just want to go be with Jesus, you know. And then 10 years roll around and Grandma Rosendary was still here. And every time I would see her, well, she would tell me, okay, all right, let me love on you now, because next time you come, I might not be here because I'm going to go be with Jesus. And she wanted to be with Jesus. 10 years came and went again. 90 years old. Grandma Rosalie there is still here, loving on us and blessing us. And oh God, just wanted to be with Jesus. He told me, next time you come, I may not be here because I'm just going to go on to be with Jesus. You know, 5 years went by and she was still here. I was like, Jesus, hi, Grandma Rosalie. And she would say, next time. And I'm telling you, she was 98 years old when Jesus finally, she saw his face. And the interesting thing, I went to her funeral, and I'm telling you, they had an open casket funeral. And Grandma Rosendary, I don't know what this was, but she had the biggest smile on her face. It was the most beautiful thing. You know, if it was appropriate to take pictures, I would have taken a picture, but that wasn't appropriate. But she had the biggest smile, just smiling. And I'm like, oh my God, she's smiling. I said, folks, I think Grandma Rosendary is seeing Jesus now. I think she is finally, as David, finally seeing the face of God. Oh, I know we long for it. I know we long for it, but he would say, you know, as we are in love with him, just because when you're in love with somebody, you do anything for him. So we say, I stay because he asked me to stay. I'm going to stay here. I'm going to keep working till the end because he asked me to. I know you're hurting. I know, you know, you don't feel that great in your body. I know, you know, but he asked you, you know, beloved, would you stay? Would you stay for me? You know, no other reason, because there's no greater reason. Because we get tired of all these other reasons, but his reason, I'll stay. Lord, I'll stay for you. You're the only reason why I'm staying. I'm going to stay, and I'm going to work, and I'm going to keep doing what I'm doing for you, because you asked me to, and I love you, and I am in love with you. So you can see this thing, that this longing. Your next point on your lesson says, Christ's glory is addicting. Once you have caught a glimpse of it in prayer, hallelujah, you will want it more and more of it. Once you catch a glimpse of his glory in prayer, it's addicting. Once you enter into that glory in your prayer closet, oh my goodness, you'll be in that prayer closet every day. I can't even leave here unless I get a little taste of Jesus. The things you used to long for in this world will grow dim as you seek for more of his glory in your life. Hallelujah. And that's so true. Sometimes I wanted to change. Lord, I shouldn't do that. That's not, you know, I shouldn't do that. I shouldn't, you know, Lord, I'm trying to be better. I'm trying to be a better Christian. I found just grow in him. Just stay in your prayer closet. Keep reading your Bible, and these things will grow dim. You won't even desire certain things anymore. The songwriter Alan Jackson wrote, turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face. And the things of this earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. You know, I've heard that song all my life, and I think I'm just now getting it. I'm just now getting what he meant. You know, this is a person that had relationships. You know, it grows dim because all that matters is him and what he's about. You will come to a place of seeing the rewards of this world for what they really are. They're temporal and they're unsustaining. Whatever you can get in this world and gain in this world, it's temporal and it's unsustaining. It shines for a while and then it just kind of, what happens? We get bored with it, don't we? You know, yeah, this house was great, but now it's all right. You know, oh, this car was nice. It was nice and shiny when I first got it, but it's all right. Got a few dents in it now. Dirty, you know. Dang. Everything in this world is like that, you know. It doesn't sustain us. It gives us just this temporal good feeling. So he's teaching us not to seek after the temporal, but he's teaching us how to seek for the eternal. Even his glory. See, the glory of God is an eternal thing. You're going to take the glory that you're growing in, you're taking that to heaven with you. Oh, you're taking that thing is eternal. And when you see Jesus, you want to have relationship. And you can talk about Jesus, remember when? See, that's what I want to be able to discuss stuff with him. Like, Jesus, do you remember when? You remember back in 2017 when we went through that stuff? You know, and I was thinking this, and then you came and you told me that it was going to be all right because you were going to take care. Do you remember that? You know, I just long to have those conversations, you know. But you need to start the conversations now. Start the conversations with Christ. Your prayers will change you. Your prayer will change. As you start praying for the eternal, your prayers will change. You will start praying for the eternal things, like people's souls. You will look at yours and other situations differently in the eternal rather than the temporal. Because see, when you're praying for people in the temporal, you're missing some things. You know, it's not that you can't pray for somebody to feel better or somebody to get healed or something. Even physical healing is temporal. You know, this body's going back to the dust eventually, you know. But when you can pray for the eternal, even when it comes to healing now, the Lord has taught me, pray for the eternal things in this person's life. Because sooner or later, we all leave in here. This physical body is going back to the dust sooner or later. But pray for the eternal. Yes. Yes. Pray for their relationship with me. You know, because sometimes there's reasons why God is allowing things in people's lives. And if you're not praying for the eternal and the temporal, Lord, just bless them. Bless them to have this, Lord, and bless them to have that, and bless them to have money to pay their bills, and bless them to have this. And are you praying for the eternal things? Lord, Lord, I pray that they would see what you're doing in their life right now. Lord, I know nothing is random in life. Lord, I know that you're always trying to draw people close to you. So, Lord, I pray that they would draw close to you, Father, through this situation, Lord God. Move by your power. Move by your spirit. Move according to your timing, Lord, not mine and not theirs, but according to your timing, Lord. Teach them the lessons they need to learn, Lord God, so they'll draw close to you, Jesus. I know they're in pain, Lord, but I pray you comfort them and minister to them in the pain. I'm telling you, there is no, and I've just found this, we hear better when we're hurting. We pray better when we're hurting. I'm telling you, there's something about pain that does something in us. Oh, Lord, we groan before God when we're hurting. Whether it's spiritual hurt or emotional hurt or physical hurt. Oh man, we're pounding on the doors of heaven when we're hurting. Because we want this to stop. So we pray that when we see other people's hurting, we got to pray for the eternal things and not just the temporal. Because we know as soon as it's better, there we go again, doing our same old thing again. La, 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 la. Going places we don't have any, have no business going, spending money without any care or concern. Instead of, let's pray for the eternal, guys. We need to do that. In this day and time, we need to pray for the eternal. We need to pray for the eternal of our nation. Pray for the eternal of the nation, the eternal of the world. And we can change the course of things. Next point says, all of the names of Jesus we have studied and will study add up to his glory. Hallelujah. When we pray these names of Jesus, we are putting on his glory. Do you hear that? After we pray, we walk out into the world clothed in his glory. You know, if you look at the table of contents of this book, our book, Living and Praying in Jesus' Name, and you look at some of the titles, you know, we're praying, you know, Lord, clothe me in your wall of fire. Lord, help me to stand on your sure foundation. Lord, give me your quickening spirit, Lord God. Lord, I pray that the amen will be in me today. You know, your amen would be in me. Lord God, I pray, Lord God, that you would clothe me in your alpha and your omega. Lord, that my beginning and my end will be in you. That's how we pray. It all is a part of his glory. All of this is a part of his glory. So as we're praying, you know, if you need to copy the table of contents of this book, you know, I just praise God for Dick Eastman and Jack Hafer writing this book. And, you know, I know it was inspired by the Holy Spirit. And just pray these names of Jesus, because all of these add up to his glory. All of it. Take the table of contents of the, I wrote in the notes, and make it your daily confession. Add other names of Christ and God to it, just as such as Jehovah Jireh, my provider. You know, the Holy Spirit will give you more names. Jehovah Nisi, my banner. Jehovah Shalom, my peace. Lord, I thank you. And clothe yourself in this, and declaring them afresh, your trust will increase. And that's from our book. And this is how you're entering into his glory in your prayer closet, as you start declaring these things. The psalmist declared, and to those who know your name, hallelujah, who have experienced your precious mercy, will put their confident trust in you. For you, O Lord, have not abandoned those who seek you. Psalm 9:10. He will not abandon those that seek him. Those that seek him. So if your day's going rough, man, know that he will not abandon you because you have sought him. And you've clothed yourself in his glory. Making the confession of these names of Christ over your life will usher you into his glory. And you say, Lord, you are my sure foundation. You are my wall. It will usher you in. And you'll know it. Because you will change. I'm telling you, the Holy Spirit is not a fairy tale. The Holy Spirit is not something that's made up and, you know, just some feel-good thing, you know. And, you know, sometimes I watch some of these, some shows and movies on TV where they're trying to mimic the Holy Spirit. You've seen them. Trying to mimic the Holy Spirit. And I'm like, you're not even close. You don't even understand what you're doing. You know, and I'm like, Lord, forgive them. They know not what they do. They think it's a game. They think this is, they don't know that this is a real thing. You know, some of them have an idea. That's why they don't want certain their children to go to church or certain people to don't go to church. Don't be over there. Because my God, that Holy Spirit might come home with you. That Holy Spirit, you know, because some people have an idea that for some reason when those folks go over in that church over there, they come out different and they come out changed and they come out wanting to do good. And so don't go over there. Those people got something going on over there. And it's the Holy Spirit. So when you get in your prayer closet and the Holy Spirit comes, the Holy Spirit takes you by the hand and he ushers you in to the presence of his glory. And you are not the same. I'm not saying you're going to go to work speaking in tongues. I'm not. That's not what I'm talking about. There's something that God has for you to do. And when you are clothed in his glory, it's like the waters just part in front of you when you need to do his work. Whatever it is, you could be a school teacher. You could be a laborer. You could be doing whatever you do. You could just be at home all day, just doing what you need to do. There's stuff you can be doing at home. There's so much to do at home. Especially with this day of the internet. My goodness, all the people you can be blessing and all the things you can be doing, sending out cards, sending out encouragement. I mean, just so many things. The Holy Spirit will speak to you for your work for the day because you have entered into the glory of the Lord today and gotten your assignment from the commander-in-chief. And now you know how to go into the day. And folks, I love the fact it's not just about your assignment. Do you understand? It's not like the general or the sergeant commanding the soldiers. In this particular case, the commander-in-chief loves you. So you come out not only with your assignment, you come out with some love. I'm telling you, you come out being loved on. You know, and I think that's what really fuels our engine, is that you come out feeling loved. You know, when a person is loved, they're different. You know, look at the children, as we talked about. Look at children. You know when a child is loved. Because they're just all confident, you know, and just doing their thing. And they're the ones that's going to speak up in class. And, you know, because they're confident. He it's like he just puts a big kiss on your head and go on out there. You're ready now. You got your assignment and you have my love. I've got your back. Before that big meeting, before that scary court date, whatever you're going to face, go into the, walk into the glory and then walk out and radiate it to the world. I encourage you to pray God's word. This type of praying will bring you closer to his glory and eventually into his glory. Write down and post scriptures around your prayer closet in your room. Learn them by heart so that you are always prepared to pray into his glory. Folks, you can pray into his glory in the bathroom. You can pray into his glory in a stall. You know, because when he has spoken that word to you for the morning, you just pray, Lord, I'm here. And I'm just praying into your glory. A really good book, Destined for the Throne. I've probably mentioned it before. Billheimer, by Paul Billheimer. Powerful book, How Spiritual Warfare Prepares a Bride of Christ for Her Eternal Destiny. Destined for the Throne. Another good book on prayer, on how to pray and how to, you know, enter into the glory of the Lord. Walk through your home, praying his glory into your home. Let me say that again. Pray his glory into your home. Walk around and invite his glory into your home, Lord. Bring your glory into the house, into my home. It's not just for the church. It's to be going with us into our home. I don't care what's going on in there. That's what the liar will tell you. Well, you shouldn't be you don't need to be praying the glory because this is going on and that's, I don't care what's going on. You pray the glory. He is a liar. The last thing he wants you to do is to pray the glory into the home. That's why he lies to you and tries to keep you from doing. So pray the glory. Walk through your home. Pray the glory into your home. There's a hymn in Habakkuk 3. I'm going to read Habakkuk 3. If you have your Bible, you can turn to it. Habakkuk 3, 17 through 19. And this is the New King James. And it says, though the fig tree may not blossom, nor fruit be on the vine, though the labor of the olive may fail, and the fields yield no food, though the flocks may be cut off from the fold, and there be no herd in the stalls, yet will I rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. The Lord is my strength, and he will make my feet like deer's feet or hind's feet, and he will make me to walk on my high places. That's how you usher in the glory. Did you hear what he said? There's no herd in the stall. The fields are not yielding any food. And the olive, the labor, all we labored for the olive tree. And the olive have failed. There's no fig trees. There's no fruit on the vine. There's nothing, Father. But yet I will praise you. I will praise the God of my salvation. And he will make my feet like hind's feet. And I will walk upon my high places. I don't know if you've ever seen a deer climb a wall or climb up a walk. I mean, you see them in Colorado all over the place. But I had the opportunity to see one climbing up a rock cliff. It was amazing how that deer got up there so quickly. And it was because of those hind legs. You know how their legs are kind of bent? Those hind legs are made for pushing. They're made for jumping. And that's what he's talking about here. He'll make my feet like hind's feet so that I can push through and I can jump through whatever I'm going through to the high places in God. So again, he's taken us through these high places in God. If you're going to pray his name, the Lord of glory, you must prepare to declare Christ as your owner and master in all you do today. You know, we talked about that, the owner and the master, and what an owner and a master is. And they're not just, you know, they're my owner and master between certain hours of the day and other hours of the day, they're not my owner and master. No, he's your owner and master all day, you know. So there's, you must be prepared. You must be prepared to declare Christ as your owner and master in all you do today. Declare, Jesus, I declare you in your lesson. It says, Jesus, I declare you to be owner of that circumstance. I proclaim you are master in this situation. You know, and I know we say, well, God should know that. God should know that I want him to get involved. Folks, there's something about declaring with your mouth. You have to declare. You got to let those demons hear you. Declare it. So you have to declare it with your mouth. And when you declare it with your mouth, it's an act of your will. It's a deliberate act of your will. Again, your feelings don't matter. Your feelings don't matter. You may be crying through it. Jesus, I declare you are the master of the situation. You know we declare, you know, that he is the Lord of this. To do this, you must pray that he would increase and you would decrease. Always our prayer. You must allow him to be your owner and master. This is not something that will come naturally to you. And that's one thing you got to know. Because sometimes we flow into what's natural. You know, I don't feel like it. You know, I'm going to go with how I feel. Folks, you got to cast that aside and go with obedience to the word of God. Because it's not going to come natural to us as human beings. I'm going to tell you. Other things are going to want to rise up. And our flesh is not going to come naturally to us. And in addition, the demons of hell will fight you and tempt you to do things in your flesh or the ways of Satan. So you got two things you're fighting. You're fighting your own flesh, and you're fighting the demons of hell that are whispering all kind of other stuff in your ear on how to do it, how to respond, what to say. Let me tell them off. Let me put my Holy Ghost on the shelf for a second. Remember, he's owner. You don't put the owner up on the shelf. The owner is with you. And that means you do it the owner's way. And rebuke that thing. You must pray that his kingdom come. And that's a hard one. You've got to pray that his kingdom come. And we talked about this a while back. It's the king, a kingdom. His kingdom consists of the king and his faithful servant. And that is you. You are the faithful servant. In order to have a kingdom, you have to have a king and you have to have loyal subjects. You are the loyal subject. And without the loyal subject, we don't have a kingdom. So you got to keep that in mind. You must pray that his kingdom come in your life and his will be done if you are to truly experience his glory in your life. We want to see it. We long for it. We pray for it. Well, this is where it starts. This is where it grows. You know, we look at all these other people. We look, oh, what God is doing in their life. And oh, isn't that great? And isn't this, don't you know this is his norm for all his kids? I want all of you guys should be shining on the planet. But we have to go through. You will never be the same when this happens, and you will never want to be the same. You will never be the same, and you'll never want to be the same. You won't even want to go back. You know, something came up with me just this last week, and you know, I just felt that, you know, my blood was getting to that low simmer and I was about to lay into somebody. And I'm like, no, wait a minute. He brought me from that. I don't do that anymore. No. And I just pressed into his glory and he made it all right. He went in and it just set the circumstances. Because when you call in the Holy Spirit comes in and just sweeps those demons out of there. And you do it his way. I don't want to be like old Karen. I don't want to be like that. You will see the power of God operate through your life as you grow in ushering his glory into everything. You usher his glory into everything. Family get-togethers. Usher his glory into the family get-togethers. Oh, Satan loves that. He loves to tear up families. He loves that. And sometimes we don't pray over our family get-togethers. 4th of July coming up, folks. We don't want to pray over the family because it's just family. You know? That's Popo and that's Pookie, you know, and that's Aunt Jane, and that's I'm going back to Ebonics. Okay, I'm gonna bring us back. That's Uncle Joe and you know, and all of that, and oh yeah. Pray. Invite the Lord of glory into your next family to get together. I want to hear testimonies about the 4th of July, okay? I want to hear testimonies about the 4th of July. Start praying. Lord, come into our 4th of July celebration. Lord, let it be a time of ministry. Let it be a time of joy. Let it be a time of love for our family. Lord, I haven't seen this one for so long. Lord, this one hasn't come because they have felt a certain way. Lord, bring the family together. I'm telling you, the Lord of glory, these areas, ushering in his glory into everything. I don't care how bad it is. I don't care how ugly it is. I don't care how stinky it is. Some of our issues are just downright stinking. But usher the Lord of glory into it. Remember where he came from? He came from glory into a manger. He can handle your stinkiness. He can handle the ugliness. Usher him in. Don't let the liar tell you, Jesus doesn't want to be a part of this. That's a lie. That is a lie. Make him a part of it. Bring in the Lord of glory. We're talking about praying this name, the Lord of glory. Bring him into your home. To pray in Jesus' name, the Lord of glory, to speak his majesty, his royalty, his eternal excellence into the details, the decisions and desires of the day. This is from our book. To do this, you must learn to pray without ceasing. To bring his glory into everything must become automatic to you. This will take practice. But if you keep at it and keep at it, after a while, it'll be automatic. It'll be automatic. You'll be bringing them in into everything. The songwriter said, "Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer." Another Alan Jackson song. You know, from "What a Friend We Have in Jesus." And that, you know, he's talking to Christians. He's talking to believers. Because we leave him on the back porch when he needs to be in the house. To pray his name, the Lord of Glory, is to linger long enough with Jesus to catch some of the glow of his glory and thereby radiate his presence throughout the day. And again, that's from our book. So will you linger? The question is, will you linger long enough to catch the glow of the glory? Will you? That means you might have to get up earlier. You might have to get up 30 minutes earlier than you have been so that you can linger, so you can go into the glory. Sometimes there is a waiting, there is a time where the Lord is just watching you and seeing if you will press in and seeing if you will wait and seeing if you will just wait on him to usher you into his glory. If we only knew how much people, all people, needed the glow of his glory in their day, we would shine it as bright as it could for them. Hallelujah. Boy, if we only knew. He's coming soon, folks. He's coming soon. And is it worth lingering a bit so that you can radiate that glory to those that you're going to see today? Is it worth it? Can you get up? Can you linger so that you can radiate that glory? Because he's coming. He's coming. I was telling somebody, I said, you don't want to go on the second trip. You want to make the first trip. I'm telling you, you want to make the first. Jesus, you know, I want to go on the first trip. I can't be lingering here, Rose. I can't be lingering. But would you radiate when he comes so that everything that you were supposed to do, all your assignments were done? And usually they will only see the glow through the children of glory. They will only see it through the children of glory. They're not reading the Bible. They're not praying. Yes. So they're only going to see it, the glow of the glory through you, your lives. Therefore, we pray into his glory for them, to the ones he loves and the ones he wants to win to himself. That's why we linger. That's why we do what we do. And I just want to read today's prayer out of the book. And it says, "Dear Father, I come with thanksgiving today because you sent Jesus as a light to shine in the darkness of this world. I praise you for the substance, the sheer weight of glory that pours into each soul in every situation that opens to his light. Today, I want to live in his name, he who is the Lord of glory. I want Christ's radiance to brighten my countenance, that I might bring the light of joy to people who are living in the shadows of difficulty. May Christ's light spill over the brim of my life in such a way that people capture a sense of your warmth without my having to seem or sound religious." Hallelujah. Amen. "And may the weight, the genuine heavy weight, reality of Christ's character be increased in me. Let the stamp of his personality be left where I have been." Hallelujah. In his name, amen, amen, amen. What a beautiful prayer. And folks, that's what we're longing for. That's what we're praying for. When we pray the Lord of glory, that's what it's about. This intimacy that is for us, but it's also for them.
Any comments?
Listen to all that.
Okay, and then pass it to Rose.
Interesting, because I just heard some of the things that came through my spirit. When I have my prayer room in the house now.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Your new house. Yeah. Amen.
I go downstairs. I go all over the house. And she's going, I'm going all over the house. And I'm standing in the presence of the Lord. And it was interesting that you said something that I prayed about. I said, I don't want to leave this world without bringing other people into the kingdom.
Yes.
I don't want to leave this world. I want to glorify you, because I tell Jesus, I am in love with you. And I have become the Father's son through you. Yeah. But I am also your brother.
Yes.
It's what you've done is who I am today.
Yes.
And I want to keep pressing on in your will.
Yes.
Your perfect plan.
Yes.
I no longer think about myself.
Yes.
I think about all the people out there that are still in the shadow of darkness.
Yes. Yes.
Because you have brought us, all the true believers, out of darkness into your marvelous light.
Yes.
And you hold them up in your righteousness.
Yes.
These are the things.
Amen.
That I think of now.
Amen. Just the Rose. Amen. Amen.
I know that. I get up at 5 o'clock in the morning. And I just want to share one of my prayers on Psalm 63. I always, and this is in Amplifier. Oh God, you are my God. With deepest longing, I will seek you. That's why I'm so in love with you.
Yes.
My soul, my life, my very self thirsts for you. My flesh longs inside for you.
Mm-hmm.
In a dry and weary land, where there is no water, so I have gazed upon you in the sanctuary to see your power and your glory, because your loving kindness is better than life.
Mm-hmm.
My lips shall praise you, so will bless you as long as I live.
Yeah.
I will lift you up, my hands in your name. My soul, my life, and very self is satisfied with marrow and fatness, and my mouth offers praise to you with joyful lips. This is what I do. I seek for him every day, before even I get out of bed. And I read the Bible every day, and on the way to work, which is about an hour. And that's all I do is praise the God.
Yes.
And just
hallelujah. The glory.
His presence.
Yes.
You know, you just feel his presence.
Yes.
So, you know, you feel this embrace.
Yes.
And that's how I want to feel all the time.
Yes.
God is amazing.
And I'm sure it reflects. When you get to work, it reflects, you know, that he loves on you. And boy, it radiates. Glory. Go ahead.
Charlotte said, invite the Lord of glory into your family gatherings. Just the Holy Spirit gave me this from Psalms 24. And it says, it's 24-7, lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be lifted up, you everlasting doors. And the King of glory shall come in.
Amen.
Who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty. The Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O ye gates. Lift up your everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts.
Yes.
He is the King of glory. And you know, our body has gates. Our ear gates, our gates, our minds.
Yeah.
We open up our gates to the King of glory.
Wow, that's
he
good.
Will come in, manifest himself in us so that we could touch others, so that he would be glorified in us. We need to open up those gates.
Wow, that's beautiful, Rita. You hear what she was saying? Our bodies have gates. Our eyes are gates. Our ears are gates. Our mouth are gates. I'm telling you, lift up the gates. Hallelujah. The King of glory shall come in. I'm telling you, when you bring that King of glory, you know, those demons, they'll stop at your property line. They will stop at your property line. Oh, can't go over there. Let's go over here across the street, because they will have to stop at your property line. Anybody else? Virginia.
I was just thinking, you know, when you were starting to teach us on how important the hinds feet at high places, and you brought it right to me. I had the thought, and somehow you picked up on it. And I thought, you know, and that's what life is all about, is hinds feet at high places.
Yeah.
We have the back feet that we jump. And we have to jump
push
over these compasses.
Yeah.
We jump,
You
know. We jump and we leap, but then there's a time to rest, too.
Yes.
And, yeah, the highest feet in high places.
Yeah.
That's, that's our life from the time we're born until we go to glory.
Absolutely.
So, yeah.
Absolutely.
So, and then just like my spiritual mom told me that once, I said, I'm not a deer. Why am I reading this thing?
Yes.
You know? She said, you're not ready for it yet.
Yeah.
And so still, I decided that I was a deer, that I was ready for the book. So,
absolutely.
Yeah, everybody needs to read that book.
Yes.
You know, if you don't need to, just glance through it, you know, periodically. And pick up some of the jewels, some of the nuggets in it.
It's an amazing book.
It
and even teenagers and kids can read that book and really be blessed. Yeah. She's talking about Hinds Feet and High Places by Hannah Herner.
Yeah. Yeah.
Beautiful, awesome book.
I read that book too, and it's awesome.
Yeah.
But this morning we got up and I didn't have electricity.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't have nothing. Wow. Everything was dark.
Mm-hmm.
And so I just said, Lord, I need to get to church.
Mm-hmm.
And he reminded me, I am the light of the world.
Yes.
You open up your window, pull the shades, and got in the shower in the dark.
Thank God for the flood.
So just, you know, he is the light of the world, and we have to praise him every day for all the little things he does.
Yes, all the little
and
things.
And the big things.
Yes, I'm Lord. Thank you, Lord God, that the sun came up. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah. Anybody else? Any comments? Wow. Well, praise God. Well, let's pray. I don't think there's anything else I can add to all of that. Let's just pray. Lord, we just thank you. We thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your mercy, Lord God. We thank you for your goodness, Lord God. Oh, Lord, we just thank you, Lord, for being the Lord of glory, Lord God. And Father, as we have learned and as we have heard today, Lord, we commit. We commit, Lord God, to pressing into your glory, Lord God. We commit to it, Father God. We are your children, Lord God. As the apostle says, we go from glory to glory, Lord God. And I pray that you would help us to remember that, Lord. No matter what we go through, Lord God, when the trials come, Lord God, let us say like the apostle, we glory in tribulation because it's going to take us to a whole new level in glory. So, Lord, we thank you, Lord. Help us to press in and press through, Lord God. Oh, Father, as your word has said, even though there's no food, there's no fruit on the tree, Lord, there's no herd in the stall, Lord God, yet will we praise you, Lord God. Oh, Father, let complaining never come out of our lips, Lord God, from this day forward, Lord. Let there be praise, Lord God. If we don't have electricity, Lord, we praise you, Lord God, for the sun, Lord God. If we don't have a vehicle, Lord, we thank you for two legs, Lord God, that we can ambulate, Lord God. Father, we just thank you for all that you have done. We glorify your name, Lord God. I pray that we will be people of prayer. People of prayer. People of prayer, Lord God. Let us long for your glory, Lord God. Let us be like King David that long for your glory and long for your presence as a deer longs for the water brook, Lord God. Our scripture today was as deep calls to deep. Oh, Lord, at the sound of your waterfall. Lord God, I pray that the deep places of us would long for the deep places of you, Lord God. Lord, we no longer want to be superficial believers, Lord God. Father, we don't want to be Sunday morning only saints, Lord God, and the rest of the week we're somebody else, Lord God. Father, we ask right now that you would be our master. You would be our owner every day, 24 hours a day, Lord God, 7 days a week, that you are our master and you are our owner, Lord God, and you would keep us and you would hold us, Lord God. Father, I pray that we would long for the love in the morning, the love in the morning. Oh, God, that we would enter into our prayer closet and, Lord, and get that kiss from heaven. Oh, God, before we go out, Lord God. Oh, Father, that we would worship you the spare moments we have, the drives to work, Lord God, we would be in worship and praise, Lord God, the moments of the day, Lord God, that you would come up in our minds. Holy Spirit, come up in our minds in those quiet moments of our day, Lord God. Come up in our minds, Lord. Minister to your people, Lord God. For we know that your return is imminent, Lord God. Oh, Lord, we want to radiate your glory, Lord God, around us, Lord, because we know your return is imminent. Oh, God, help us, Lord God. To understand what it is to be children of the Lord of glory. Oh God, to radiate it. It is the most important work on the planet that we radiate your glory. So Lord, I thank you and I praise you. And Lord, be with us, Lord God. Change us. Make us different. Let us grow in you. And we thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen. Amen.